So today, this were class number 99. I believe this is class number 99. Yes, class number 99. So next week, please go. We have to make a special. It actually works out very well because we'll go back to the Seder and Shema. What else for class 100? I don't know what we're going to do exactly, but if you have any ideas, let me know. Okay, let's talk a little bit on Shemini Atzeret, Simchas Torah, and hopefully I'll go through a little bit about that. Right, then we'll see what we get to. A little bit different shiur today. Okay, so we discussed, I think, last week, Sukkot is a universal holiday. We move, right? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is very internally focused, how we can do better. They're personal holidays. They're not national holidays. We don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem. And I mentioned, I think, last week, Rav Soloveitchik says, come Yom Kippur afternoon, we start to shift our focus. We take a universal focus. That's the book of Yonah. We're not all concerned about our personal tshuva. We're concerned about our enemies. And we discussed it last week. There's an amazing thing. Nineveh was our enemy, but yet we want to go and help them. I guess they say in modern language, you make peace with your enemies, whatever. But it wasn't to make peace between Israel. It was just for them to do tshuva. And of course, we continue this very much on Sukkot, the holiday of peace. And I don't know if I mentioned last week that the first mention of Sukkot in the Torah is by Yaakov and Esav. And that already gives you an indication that Sukkot has a connection between our relationship to the world, the 70 sacrifices, and Shemini Atzeret, we go back. That's very nice, concerned about the world, but we have a unique relationship with God. And that's how the Midrashim, I think, understand. We go from the 70 bulls on Sukkot, of course, not 70 a day and not even 10 a day. We go in descending order 13 to 7. So it averages 10 a day, so 70 on the 7 days. That's the 70 nations of the world. And then we have one bull on Shemini Atzeret. That's the special relationship between God and the Jewish people. And of course, there's no reason for Shemini Atzeret. Like, there's no event happened. And that's right, how Simchas Torah got here. Because the famous Midrashim, Kasha Alai like Prayed Atchem. It's very difficult for you to leave me. You know, I want to go back to Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Sukkot, this morning, Hoshana Rava. We got a little bit of a taste back to Rosh Hashanah. The Hoshanas are really beautiful. I wish I had more time to say them. They say them, I have time to say most of them, but, you know, to think about them, they have to rush through, you know, the 20 minutes of Hoshanas after marching for 7 times, but they're very beautiful. And you hear, we're back on really the theme of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're crying out to God. That's what Hoshana means. Rain. As a lot of it is about rain and remember the merit of our ancestors. I have these themes over and over again. Very, very beautiful in poetic language. And then it's hard. It's hard. You've been so intense. So God says, Kashe Alai Predachem. It's difficult. Like at the end of the Simcha, everybody goes home. It's always nice if, you know, your closest relative stays an extra day and you didn't have a chance to schmooze with them, whatever. So we have Shemini Atzeret, just time. You don't have to worry in theory about Sukkot and Lulav and any mitzvot. Just Simcha. Just Simcha. Vayita Ach Sameach. And of course, that's the ultimate in Simchas Rav Soloveitchik. We mentioned, I think, many times that the highest level of Simcha, I guess the hardest level of Simcha, is to feel the presence of God. If you want to put it in a little bit easier terms, how I try to explain to my students, if you're in the presence of greatness. So, Lahavdil, if you're, you know, a big hockey fan, you can meet Wayne Gretzky. I'm in the Wayne Gretzky generation. I don't know Austin Matthews. I don't know today what goes on. Or you're, you know, baseball fan, you can meet Babe Ruth. Okay. I'm not of that generation either, but still, you know, you'd be wow. Or you go to the Grand Canyon, you're awe-inspired. So Lahavdil, of course, when you come to Kaddish Baruch, when the presence of greatness, there is tremendous joy. The other Simchot, I don't know if I mentioned this last week at all, but very quickly, the other main manifestations of Simcha, of course, are physical, eating, wine, basar v'yayin, intellectual, to learn Torah, and sharing. That's, of course, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Pesach is all about food. You know, that's what the theme of Pesach is. It's our physical freedom. So we celebrate our Simcha on a physical level. Shavuot is Matan Torah. That's intellectual. You know, you win the Nobel Prize in Science. That's great. You know, you feel good. You make a great discovery. You learn Torah. Torah brings us joy. It's why an Avel, a mourner, can't study. So that's the Simcha of Shavuot and the Simcha of Sukkot. is primarily by sharing with other people, the ger, the yatam, the yamana, the widow, the orphan, and Sukkot, the time of our harvest, the time of sharing. Of course, the mitzvah of simcha is equal on all three regalim, but the idea is developed differently in each one. And of course, it's interesting to note that the mitzvah to be happy, simcha, is never mentioned on Pesach. The Torah doesn't mention it. The rabbis derive that it applies, but they don't mention it. And on Shavuos, it's mentioned only once, and Sukkot is mentioned three times. Twice or three times? No, I forget. Because that's a higher level of simcha. And then Usmachtem, Livnei Hashem, Sukkot, to rejoice in the presence of God. So Shmini Atzeret, Shmini Atzeret is the ultimate in feeling the presence of God. That's the goal. And it makes sense after Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Now we finally feel the presence of God, and hopefully our level. And that's the true simcha, so that you don't need anything else. That's what Shmini Atzeret. So on this level, Shmini Atzeret is like, wow, that's the ultimate in all the holidays. And of course, it's also true. We always view Shmini Atzeret as the culmination of the high holiday season. That's true. But it's also just like Sukkot is the culmination of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Pesach, Sukkot's the double holiday, the Shalosh Regalim, and the holidays in Tishrei. I really think that Shmini Atzeret is the day that God says, let's spend another day together from Pesach. Not the holiday season began on Elul or Rosh Hashanah. It began on Pesach. I'm sorry? Okay, just hold on. And we know that, of course, all our holidays are in the spring, the summer, the fall, because all our holidays have agricultural motifs. So now we're going to the long winter. So God says, you know, we started the season, the holiday season lasts for 6 months from Pesach to Sukkot. And then now the five holidays are over. The five biblical holidays are over. Kasha lai predatchem. Let's state one extra day to develop the intimate relationship. Very nice with the non-Jews, but we have a special intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to be the Shmini Atzeret. And now we're going to have a long summer, a long winter, the weather. We better pray that the rain better come. And of course, there are no holidays in winter except later on Hanukkah. Hanukkah comes in the winter, but that's, of course, a rabbinic holiday. And I'm sure I've mentioned in the past that it's not coincidental that Hanukkah is celebrated with lights, because it's in the darkest time of the year, both lunar-wise and solar-wise. Of course, in the solar season, obviously, it's the winter, in the dead of winter, the least amount of daylight, but it's also the only holiday that begins after the 15th of the month, when you have the full moon, begins the 25th of the month, when you can't see the moon. So it's the darkest time of the year, lunar and solar, and therefore it's not surprising that we celebrate Hanukkah by the lighting of candles. Forget all the, you know, the Shemen and the Oh, that's all very nice, the Beit HaMikdash, but just look at it from the agricultural motif of the holiday. But biblically, Shmini Atzeret is the last holiday. Now, I will say, remember Rabbi J.J. Schechter told us, I don't want to call it homiletical, maybe this is the basic meaning, Kasha Alai Predatchem. Very important this year. So we understand that it's difficult for God to separate from his beloved people. Let's spend an extra day together in intimacy. So I heard this from him many years ago. He says, "Kasha alai predatchem." It's difficult when the Jewish people are divided. Predatchem, when your divisions. God says to the Jewish people, Sukkot is a holiday of Jewish unity, of coming together. So God says, it's very difficult for me when the Jewish people don't get along. And we've spoken many times. We all know that, especially this year, this is very important. I think somebody can let me know. I really didn't look at the newspaper yet this morning, like for half a second. But somebody said they did reach a compromise in Tel Aviv. They are going to allow the groups. The whole thing is, this is all tragic. But I think they did reach out. The fact that opposing groups can actually make an agreement, that's already a step in the right direction. But I also saw yesterday, but that's very, Kasha Alai Predatchem is not just the relationship between God and the Jewish people, it's the relationship, hold on, it's the relationship within the Jewish people themselves. I did see yesterday something cute. I just saw in the paper, somebody sent a link to an article. I don't want to get into all the details on any politics, but it was very interesting. They were talking about who was somebody was there invited to sit in a sukkah, and there were a bunch of political people from Israel, from divergent groups, Baruch Hashem, in sukkah. And then one of the people left. He didn't want to be in the same sukkah with somebody else. Okay, sad. So somebody wrote, it was just very interesting. Somebody wrote critically. He says, no, you should stay. He says, the sukkah, we know we say, kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkah. That's what it says in Parshat Emor. You have to sit in a sukkah for 7 days. Kol ezrach b'Yisrael. Sukkot is the holiday of the people. All the people, kol ezrach, all citizens of Israel will sit in the sukkah. But the rabbis have a very interesting interpretation. The rabbis say, kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkachat. I don't exactly know what that means. All of Israel can sit in one sukkah. We can call us Rakh Israel. Everybody should come together in one sukkah. I obviously don't know what that means literally, unless it means really the Beit HaMikdash, because we discussed already a few weeks ago, the Beit HaMikdash, many of the laws of sukkah wouldn't apply. You didn't have to sit in the sukkah in the Beit HaMikdash. What do you think all the Olei Regalim in the temple, they all were in sukkah? I don't know. I assume not. And that's, I think, how many assume. That's the halacha. If you go visit your Rebbe, if you go on a business trip, you don't have to sit in a sukkah. Hochei drachim. Somebody going on a business trip on Chol HaMoed is exempt from sitting in the sukkah. If you fly to Israel on Chol HaMoed, you can eat bread on the plane. It's okay. And that's while you travel. When you don't travel at night, then you have to sit in a sukkah. But if you're going to do a mitzvah, which is to visit your Rebbe, there's a special mitzvah to visit your Rebbe, your teacher on Yamim Tovim. We can't visit God. We don't have the Beit HaMikdash. So the next best thing, Etesh HaMalkach HaTira, Talmidei HaChachamim are sort of equivalent on a certain level, just like our parents are, to God, as heretical as that sounds. So there's an idea to visit your teacher. That's a whole Hasidic notion, you know, visiting the Rebbeim on the Yamim Tovim. So on, That we have that notion to so everybody is sitting in one sukkah, wherever that is, in the Beit HaMikdash. So the person writing was Rav Stav, who was writing this, from the founder of Tzohar, David Stav. I assume some of you know who he is. If not, he's an important leader in the religious Zionist community in Israel, a more moderate leader. He said, Dafka in the sukkah. People you wouldn't want to invite to your house, invite in your sukkah. I thought it was such I never really thought about it. There are people you don't want to invite to your house. They're not, but in the sukkah, outside of your house, in your backyard, everybody should come. I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting idea. Okay. So, now, of course, we all know, but it's, Tova, I don't know, you're going to Hakafas in a few minutes, I imagine. So, we all know, of course, that the holiday of Simchat Torah doesn't, this is a, I'm going to say it's a made up holiday. Well, it's made up by the rabbis, 1,000 years ago. I have this, here it is. I don't know if anybody has seen this book. This is the classic book written in the 60s. Avram Ya'ari, Toldot Chag Simchat Torah, the story or the generations of this, probably of Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah didn't just happen. It happened over time organically. How many pages in the book? 529. It's a big book. Anything you ever want to know about Simchat Torah is here. Although I was quite surprised because I wanted to look it up last night. He doesn't have a chapter on Atta Hareta. I don't know why. But anyway, so this is, Simchat Torah, and he begins his book by the story that there was a shul in Egypt, and we know that until we had universal agreement on Kriyas HaTorah was probably, I don't know, the 13th century, I don't remember exactly when, pretty late into Jewish history. We know that in Israel, the custom used to be they finished Torah every 3.5 years, approximately. They didn't divide the parsha the way we divide them. This is Sidrot. They did a triannual cycle. That doesn't mean like what the conservative movement did many years ago, or some of the shuls do. Like they read a third of the parsha every week. It means it took them 3 weeks to do Bereishit. It wasn't necessarily Bereishit Noah, but 3 weeks Bereishit, 3 weeks Noah, 3 weeks Lech Lecha. They did for 3 weeks, not like a third of the Parsha, and every third, you know, every year you do something else. So that was their minhag until the Babylonian custom of finishing the Torah in 1 year became a dominant custom. So he tells the story that there were two shuls in Egypt. You can imagine. So one of the shuls followed the Israeli custom, and one of the shuls followed the Babylonian custom. So there's two shuls. What else? You know, one shul, two shuls, you know, like, It was very nice. The people from the shul where it wasn't Simchas Torah. What's Simchas Torah? They're reading Pekudei. Like, I don't know where they're up to. They're reading Pekudei, and the shul across the street, they're dancing in the streets. They finished the Torah, and people went over to celebrate with them. It's just interesting. Obviously, it took a long time, and I'm sure in different places, for the idea of Simchat Torah, which it's a made up name. It's a made up everything. He has a whole chapter on the names of Simchat Torah. Many, like the Gaonim, or they had some of these practices. They had all kinds of different names. We, of course, have settled, so to speak, on Simchat Torah, which ties in the notion we were talking about of Simcha, of a pure joy that we have. So, of course, listen, it's for obvious reasons. We have no reason. I mean, maybe we have the most important reason, but no special reason for Shemini Atzeret. There's no special things that we do. We just say hello, just develop our relationship with God, and I guess, and the Jewish people too. Kashe Elai Pre'edatem, not to be divided from God, not to be divided from our people. What are you going to do on the second day Yom Tov? So the way we do Shemini Atzeret, it's very interesting. I'm Shemini Atzeret has taken on a much more serious manner. We say Yisker. We discussed last year, like a year and a half ago, before Pesach, the minhag to say Yisker is a very difficult minhag. It began only on Yom Kippur, so that I understand, on Yom Kippur, and Rav Soloveitchik went so far, yes, in his matzor, that part of Yisker, this is pretty unbelievable, but that don't think when you die, you stop being, judged, that because a person can die, and the impact Jenner, the Tosfot Yontos write about the righteous of the nations. So, how many lives have been saved because of the smallpox vaccine? The fact that the person isn't living anymore, he gets reward every year, and Rahmana Litzlan, it can work in the opposite ways too. It's not that we die. So every year, it's not where it's just everybody's died, everybody's judged. So that's part of the Yisker, where we want to help the people who are no longer here. God should remember for good things. We normally focus on Yisker as we should do tshuva. In other words, why do we say Yisker? Yisker is to do tshuva. The Gemara says, if you want to sin, we have a three-prong. A guy wants to sin. That's okay. What can you do? We're normal. We all like to sin on occasion. So what are you supposed to do if you want to sin? What the Gemara says, what do you do? What do you go to your therapist, your spiritual therapist? I want to sin. I want to do the. So what's the? What are they going to tell you? What is the saying? The Talmud. Anybody want to?
You put on black clothing and you go to a.
That's later. That's later. Right. That's a different Gemara. I don't know if they're connected. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I really have to look into that. The Gemara says, "Moshim paga becha menuvelza." If this menuvel, this low life, the Yetzer Hara pagabo, he you encountered him. Vayivka b'makom. You encountered the place. You encountered the Yetzer Hara. So, moshcheu lebeit hametrash. Schlep him to learn Torah. Bring him to a shir. A shir who wants to sin is so much fun learning Torah. It's so beautiful. The desire to sin will go away. No, the Gemara recognized doesn't always work. Say Kriyat Shema. Very interesting. As Gemara says, I don't know that this would work in today's world. I don't know. Say Kriyat Shema. And the Gemara says, if that doesn't work, think of Yom Hamita. Think of the day of death. Everybody knows on the person's death, you think differently when death is staring you in the face. People think differently on Yom Kippur. Mi yechiyahu mi yamut. When they say Unotana Tokev, then when they're dancing on Simchas Torah, it's a very different mood. It has to be that we can't live with death. Maybe that's not healthy. So that's what the Gemara says. Think of the day of death. So that's why we say Yisker. Yisker to do tshuva. So Yisker began on Yom Kippur. Yisker in Yom Kippur. And then it got extended to Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Why did it get extended? Because they're also Yimei Hadin. The Gemara, the second Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says there are 4 days of judgment. Yom Kippur really isn't one of them. It's actually Rosh Hashanah. On Pesach, the world is judged for wheat. On Shavuot, for Peirot Ha'ilan, the fruit of the tree. And Bechag Nidonim Al Hamayim. We discussed that last year. On Sukkot, we're judged on the water, and that's Geshem, etc., etc. So Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot are a miniature Yom Hadin. It's not the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Yom Hadin. So that's probably how Yisker developed. What got extended from Yom Kippur, Tshuva, into the other holidays, and it's supposed to inspire us. The problem, of course, it's you're not supposed to be sad. It's the Yisker, not so happy. So how can you say it on Pesach Mezuzah? That's why it's a little bit of a difficult minhag, but okay. Like a lot of minhagim, you have two competing values. Both are important. You have to figure out which one you're going to do. What, Yocheved was saying, there's another Gemara that if a person can't control himself and he knows he's going to sin, so he should put on black clothes and go to another city and do what you have to do. Don't make a Chilul Hashem. Sin where nobody knows you. Move to Timbuk. Remember, there's no social media. There's no internet. So it's very easy to go to another town. Today, this won't work. But go, what it means is don't sin in public. It's a Chilul Hashem. There's a Machloket Rishonim on this Gemara. The medieval authorities debate, is this Gemara, is it serious or not? In other words, the idea is you dress up in black, you schlep to the new city, but then you've calmed down, your desire to sin being lower. That's what black is. Black is a depressing color. The way the Gemara presents it prevents you from sinning. That's why in the yeshiva world they wear black. I mean, where do you think it comes with this notion that black will prevent you presumably from sinning? Red is like, whoa, you know, that's like colorful and, you know, red hair. What are you going to do? I don't know. But, so some say it's that the Gemara obviously doesn't give you permission to sin. Obviously it just means to tame the sinning. But some say no. Some say the Gemara, taka, if the person really can't control themselves, when the Gemara would like you not to sin, but, okay. If you have to sin, the way to sin is going somewhere else and et cetera. You know, the Gemara says, I forget now the name of the rabbi who was going to sin with the prostitute and his tzitzis came and hit him in the face and that prevented him from sinning. The Gemara has some of these really amazing stories. I think they're really beautiful stories of our tradition. Yes, the Gemara says the greater the person, the greater the Yetzer Hara. I don't know who was it? At Dr. Press Schwartz's, you know, share last night. I already got way more comments than usual. Quite, amazing. She spoke about abuse. She used Vizot Abracha by Levi is praised for having no loyalty to his family because they did terrible things. The Chedegel and Levi's praise. That's when Moshe's on the deathbed. You didn't know your parents. You didn't know your kids, nothing. So she spoke about it. It was really quite powerful, a little bit different. And, why is I saying this now? Right. But that's, what was I saying a second? I just lost my train of thought. I apologize.
Sinning.
Right. Sinning. Right. So she says, right. Thank you very much, Debbie. Thank you. We know great rabbis and sexual abuse. It's, I don't want to say it's a bigger problem, but it might be. I don't know. Are the percentage of rabbis who sin in sexual abuse higher than the general population? I don't know, but it would not at all shock me if it is. I think research does assume it is higher in the Orthodox community because they've never experienced, you know, boys and girls don't mingle. And when you're in an all male environment, it does lend, I'm not a psychiatrist here, but psychology, but that's, I think there is a lot of evidence that, it's not so healthy to never see someone of the opposite sex and, you know, and whatever. Okay. I'm not getting into that discussion, but that the Gemara was well aware that there are rabbis who would sin serious sins, very serious sins. Okay. And the Gemara then said they held back. They didn't. So I think that's very beautiful. You know, where we always humanize our leaders. We don't make them into gods. That's the difference between our religion and Christianity. That's the fundamental difference. And a priest can't marry. That's not normal, right? That's not humane. And we don't have to talk about all the abuses in the Catholic Church. It's not our issue. It's a very sad issue, but we have it in our community. If you can't, so they're very practical. Anyways, but yeah, back to Shemini Atzeret. So Shemini Atzeret is a very serious day. Yisker, Yeshem, Yigadal. You know, the whole tune. It's a very, very moving and beautiful. Kohelet, you know, let's have a little bit of a downer. This year we're reading it on Shemini Atzeret. I assume in Israel they read it on the first day of Yontif because when they've got Simchas Torah and Shemini Atzeret, they're not going to throw in Kohelet. But we do Kohelet tomorrow. I suppose there's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed. And Simchas Torah is like the most chaotic day in Shul, maybe more than, you know, Purim even, you know, with the 17 minyanim to read the Torah and Kiddush, everybody, you know, it's all the shtick that goes on in Simchas Torah. So we've divided these 2 days into two very different days. All Simchas Torah really is the second day of Yontif, of Shemini Atzeret. But so it is very interesting. And I guess this reflects the two moods. You know, we say that Yom Kippur is the day, it's not called Yom Kippur in the Torah, right? It's called Yom Kippurim. It's not Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim. And of course, the beautiful interpretation that some of our sages gave, Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Of course, the most ridiculous thing you can say in the world. They're the two most opposite days of the year, Yom Kippur and Yom Kippurim. But obviously the rabbis are onto something. For Soloveitchik has a whole essay about this. But on a very simple level, you can worship God through fasting or feasting, through partying, or, and it's much better if you can do it through our feasting. It's a lot easier through the fasting. At Yom Kippur and Purim are two different ways to worship God. And what the, I think it's based on, I think this comment is in the Zohar, but since I've never looked at the Zohar in my life, because I'm still, I'm intellectually under 40, if I'm chronologically over 40, so I can't look at the Zohar. But I think Yom Kippurim, that's the idea, that it's like, it's an even higher level. It's a beautiful teaching that the two ways to worship God. So in a sense, that's what we do on Shemini Atzeret and Simchas Torah. It just developed this way, you know, kind of. So, okay, what are we going to do the second day? It makes sense. Well, if Shemini Atzeret is all about the intimate relationship with God, so what's our Torah? Our intimate relationship is through the reigning of the Torah, right? That's the question. Why don't we finish the Torah on Shavuos? Why you know, we finish it on Shavuos, not Simchas Torah? No, we finish it at this time of the year. It's the culmination of Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret. So we express V'hayita Ach Sameach on Shemini Atzeret. That's the logical time to end the Torah. But we sort of divided the 2 days. There were 8.5 Jews living in Israel, so it wasn't an issue. And then the Jews came back to Israel. I mean, you don't have to show your hand, but I spent, I think, 3 times I was in Israel on Shemini Atzeret. I don't know. What can I tell you? I find it very weird. And maybe that's not the right word to use. Right, Tova is shaking her head. I mean, this is the way we're brought up. What can I tell you? When I kept
it's
one
very,
day, I'm sorry?
I'm saying it's very jarring to go from saying Yisker to dancing 5 minutes
correct.
Later. It's,
that's 100% correct. I don't think Simchas Torah would have happened had we been living in Israel. I mean, that's like basically what I'm saying. It developed organically. I don't think it couldn't have developed. I don't think I'm explaining, you know, in other words, Yom Kippur and Purim are not on the same day. Matter of fact, we're Soloveitchik. That's why Yom Kippur is actually 2 days. It says in the Torah, Batisha me erev erev, you fast on the ninth from the ninth. That all the guard says, why not say on the tenth? Why do you say the ninth at night? So the way it's understood, Chazal say this, the ninth and the tenth are 2 days of Yom Kippur. Whoever eats on the ninth is as if they fasted on the tenth. In other words, there's an equal mitzvah to eat on the ninth. Why? Because Yom Kippur has a dual theme. Yom Kippur is Kabbalat HaTorah, God renewed the covenant. Beautiful. We celebrate. It's also our fate is being sealed. Not so beautiful. We're a little nervous. We can't have those two moods in the same day. So the ninth, we celebrate. It's just as if you fasted on the tenth. That's what the Gemara phrases it. Whoever eats on the ninth, you get the reward for eating and for like you fasted on the tenth too. So it's the same thing. You can't, Shemini Atzeret and Simchas Atzeret don't go together. It's almost shatnes. I know that's not a nice thing to say, but it's, so it was for me, I guess Israelis think I'm crazy. They don't know what I'm talking about, but for, I think any of us who've experienced Shemini Atzeret and Simchas Torah, it is very jarring when you go to Israel. And okay, what can you do? So it's just interesting. Yes, Mr. Yehudi, you have your hand up. You want to ask a question? You have to unmute yourself if you want to speak.
Question between Shemini Atzeret and, between Simchas Torah and Purim is actually, I think, a better one, because these are the two happiest holidays on the Jewish calendar, and they both originated in the Galut.
And they both
And they both originated in the Galut, and there's no answer to us about that.
That's a very interesting point. Purim and Simchas Torah both are in exile. Purim, of course, that's one of the reasons the Gemara says we don't say Hallel, because it's an exile holiday. True Hallel. It only in Israel. So that's a very interesting idea that Purim and Simchas Torah, you want to claim the two happiest holidays of the year are Chutz Laaretz holidays. That's a very interesting idea. I don't know what to make of that.
It's a fact. And it's not,
I know it's a fact, obviously.
Discussed.
Correct. Yeah.
And the second point I wanted to make is you shouldn't think that people in Israel are not aware of the jar that takes place on Shemini Atzeret, you know, when it's only one day. In fact, many shuls in Israel do what we do on Simchas Torah. Like, we have our Kiddush Brich HaKohanim and Shacharit in Simcha Torah.
So right.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is, among the religious kibbutzim, many of them decided to basically finish Musaf and then do Kriyasa.
Correct.
So the result would
they
be,
do a Kabbas later, like the morning and the afternoon. The morning is
being answered. They get all the serious stuff out of the way first.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, right. Because they have no choice.
They are aware of the problem.
Right.
But
the fact
of the matter is that the only reason there is this kind of problem is because All kinds of prayers were shoved into the davening that weren't there before.
Yisro
wasn't a prayer of the davening originally.
Right.
It always started in the Middle Ages.
Right, that's exactly my point. It wouldn't have developed this way had we not been living there. So thank you. No, I understand. So now they're back in Israel, so they have to figure out a way to sort of divide Shemini Atzeret. But I will say, so it's weird. It's a weird feeling, I think, for us. But the first time I kept one day of Yontif, when I was in yeshiva, so I had the worst. I kept a day and a half, if you know what that is. But today everybody keeps one day, whatever. That's not for now. But the first time I kept one day when I was in Israel, it felt very normal. I like 2 days Yontif. I like 2 Seders. I'm sorry. But it still felt very normal to keep one day because you're an Israel. Like it feels abnormal to keep. It is abnormal to keep 2 days in Israel. Anyways, but Shemini Atzeret Simchas Torah, that I couldn't heard. Okay, let's a few more things and maybe get a few moments and I have to write that. So that's basically Simchas Torah, the overflow of the joy that's been building up. We've gone from fear, we discussed last week, fear, pachad, ema, yira, and Shemini Atzeret, Vayita Achsmeach, and then we let loose. We let loose on Simchas Torah. And but if you can let loose and your worship of God in a proper way. That's true Simcha. Of course, sometimes people let loose a little too much. There's no mitzvah to drink on Simcha's Torah. There's no such thing. I don't think there's such a mitzvah to drink on Purim either, but okay, what do you want from me? In other words, there's no mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. Whatever. Not for now, but there is an idea to drink. The Ramah says you should drink, have a cup of wine and go to sleep, and then you won't know the difference between Mordechai and Haman. All right, whatever it is. But there's no idea to drink. So you have to be careful. I know Simchas Torah, some people get too carried away. That's the fear. That's what we need Yom Kippur. But the ultimate is if you can do Purim properly, Simchas Torah properly, that's a higher level of worship, Yom Kippurim, than to do Yom Kippur properly. Okay, let's just say one thing. I don't think I talked about the beautiful idea of the Rav marching in circles, right? Hakafas is marching in circles. The difference between a circle and a square, everybody's equal. It gives a very egalitarian, all Jews are equal. And that's why we have to march in a circle. Everybody's equidistant. Of course, a circle, you come back to where you started from. There's no beginning. There's no end. Tshuva, that's the notion of tshuva. And then, of course, Rav explains, it's all written up. I think I first read this in Reflections of the Rav. He has a few essays on this, or I think a couple of essays. What do we do on Simchas Torah, on Sukkos this morning? Somebody takes out a Sefer Torah and everybody walks around. We don't really walk in a circle. We walk more like in an oval, what we walk in. But in theory, we're walking in a circle. And what's in the middle? Of course, in the middle is Torah. What happens on Simchas Torah? On Simchas Torah, we take all the Torahs and we walk around the middle. What's in the middle? We don't have anybody in the middle. What's in the middle?
God.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing, God. Now, it's a very powerful idea. You just think about it. We're marching around God. What does this mean? That means the goal of the Torah is not the Torah. The goal of the Torah is to develop a relationship with God. The Torah is the mechanism for which we develop the relationship with God. In other words, all week we march around the Torah. Of course, on a practical level, a Jew should live their life as best they can in accordance to what it says in the Torah. But the Torah has a higher goal. The Torah's higher goal is to get closer to God. That's A. So that's why we take the Torah, the Torah's now on the outside, and God's in the middle. And that's something we lose track of. Chaim Soloveitchik discusses that in his famous article, Rupture and Reconstruction. We've lost Yirat Hashem. We're afraid of the Shulchan Aruch, but we're not afraid of God. That's why he ends his article. People have much more fear of the Shulchan Aruch than they do of God. That's the famous joke. God made, God should have said Lo Tignov as a Yesh Omrim in the Ramah. It said, some say you shouldn't steal. Oh, the Ramah says Yesh Omrim, nobody says, Ten Commandments. All right. What's the big deal? So that's a joke, but like every joke, it has some truth to it. The truth of the matter, this is really an idea developed by the Rambam that I like to often mention, you know, where the Rambam discusses, should we do mitzvah because we want to or because we have to? So the Rambam famously distinguishes between what I'll call ethical and ritual mitzvah. When it comes to eating kosher, the Rambam says, you shouldn't say, ugh, cheeseburger, I eat cheeseburger, disgusting. No, if you don't like cheeseburgers, so it's no big deal. It's no mitzvah to eat a cheeseburger. A Jew is supposed to say, I would love to eat pork. I would love to eat a cheeseburger. What can I do? God won't let me. That's better than saying, ugh, cheeseburger. But when it comes to don't steal, you shouldn't say, I wish I could steal. I really wish I could steal. What can I do? God says I shouldn't steal. So some say that's the highest level. Wow, I'm not stealing because God. So the Ram says, no. When it comes to not stealing, all the ethical mitzvot in the Torah, a Jew should do it because he wants to do it. It's the right thing to do without the Torah. What's the Rambam telling us? The Rambam's telling us the goal of the Torah is to develop our character. The goal of the Torah is not to listen to the Torah. We today, very often in the Orthodox world, we tell people, listen to the Torah, like that's the ultimate goal. No, the ultimate goal of the Torah is to develop a personality. So here you see on Simcha's Torah, the Rav talking about, of course, Rav agreed with both, of course, but develop our relationship with God, Torah is to develop our relationship, and the goal of the Torah is to develop our relationship with other people. It's not to keep the Torah. That's not the goal. I mentioned last week, right? When God comes to Moshe in Egypt, he doesn't say, I'm taking you out of Egypt to take you to Sinai. He says, I'm taking you out of Egypt to go to Israel. Only later, what's Paro going to say? Oh, so tell Paro we're going for 3 days to worship God. The Torah is the means of which we live our life in Israel, but that's not the goal. The Torah and Shavuot, that's why the Torah downplays the reading of the Torah. We don't know when we got it. There's no holiday to celebrate. We today celebrate it, but that's later because we lost agriculture. The Torah makes no mention of celebrating the day we got the Torah. I mean, every day we get the Torah. It's not a specific thing, but I think that's just an important point. We march with God in the center. The Torah is our guidebook, but the Torah, we all know that. That's really what the Ramban. It's not exactly, but I think this is what the Ramban means when you can be a Naval, Rishut HaTorah. You can, the Ramban in Kedoshim to you to be holy. What does that mean? The Ramban says you can follow every dot, what's the expression? Cross every dot in the Torah to the 10th letter, and you can still be a Naval, a carcass. You can be like a disgusting person because following the Torah isn't enough. There's a Rav Sol, the halacha is a floor, not a ceiling. So it's a very important message where we yell at people, keep the Torah. But why do we keep the Torah? It's not just to keep the Torah. To keep the Torah, A, to develop a relationship with God was very beautiful, and B, equally, developing our relationship with man is developing our relationship with God, because we're going to read tomorrow, on Sunday in Israel tomorrow, we're going to read that God, man created God in his image. So when you worship, when you help man, you're helping God. So that's what we read on Simcha's Torah. It's not, I never thought of it like this, right? We always assume that on Simcha's Torah, okay, we finish, we have to start again. So the start is Bereshit, but I think it's more than that. We finish, Simcha's Torah, we rejoice with God, Bereshit, now we have to think about man. Man is created with Selim Elohim. I don't know. I just think that, that's what it means. So that's what marching around the sort of the empty space, so to speak. Okay. Let's just spend 5 minutes or a few minutes. On Atta Hareta, which is the sort of special Simchas Torah thing that we do, that we don't do any other time. So the truth is, I really, it's like I told you, this 500-page book does not have a chapter in Atta Hareta. I was like floored. The Nativ Bina, Rav Jacobson's book, has a whole book. This is the one on Shalosh Regalim. Sukkos. So the last thing on Sukkos is... Okay, Megillah says Mitzvah HaChag, Hilchot Sukkah, Arba Minim, Kriya B'Torah, Megillah Kohelet, Geshem, Hoshanat, Piyutim LaHoshanat. Nothing on Simchas Torah. I don't know why. You look in the Otzer Tefillah, basically nothing. I don't know. None of the people talk about Atta Hareta. I don't understand why. If I mentioned last year that the same people don't talk on Geshem either. I found it very strange. Last year, that was our focus of our shir, if you remember. We spoke on Tefillah Geshem, and most of the Sidurim don't have it, which indicates that it was a later addition this the Piyutim of Geshe. I just find that very interesting. I don't know why, I can't really explain it, but the commentary, so I have this the Slotot Avram, he doesn't mention it at all. Just I don't know. They don't talk about it. Okay. So you have to look up the original verses. Atta Reita is all verses. There are two verses. Atta Reita is basically a long Vayehi Bin Soa. I mean, it's a long way we sing praise. We're taking out the Torah, not just taking out the Torah. We're taking out the Torah to finish the Torah. So it's, you know, like on Shabbos, we had Enka Mocha Ve'lim Hashem, Enka Masecha. Now, Nusach Sfard, I believe, people here at Davin Nusach Sfard say Atta HaReita Ladad every Monday and Thursday, correct? Nusach Ashkenaz begins at Enka Mocha Ve'lim Hashem, Enka Masecha. But Nusach Sfard actually takes Atta HaReita that we see on Skunter says all year, kind of like we take Aleinu from the Machzor and we say it all year. But Nusach Ashkenaz, we only say it on Simchas Torah. Now, only two of the verses, if you have your Siddur in front of me, if you want to pull it up, whatever, for Atta HaReita, only two of the verses are Torah verses. That's kind of, I really noticed that last night as we're going through it. Atta HaReita Ladat, which I'm going to talk about where that verse comes from in one moment. And Vayehi Bin So Aron, because we're opening up the Aron Kodesh. So those are the only two. All the rest are mainly Tehillim. Of course, like always, going to be lots of Tehillim. You have a few psukim mixed in here or there, but there are only two psukim that or in the Chumash. So where does it pass? It's all verses of praising God. That's what Atta HaReita is. We're singing the praises of God. It's a little bit of prayer, kind of like what we do in the Shmon Esrei. We begin the Shevach, praise, then Bakasha. So it's mainly praise, but you have a Yehi Hashem Imanu Kasher, you should be like us, like you were with our forefathers. We end this section right before Vayehi Bin Soa. V'yuna amareinu l'ratzon l'ifnei Adon Kol. Our word should find favor in your eyes, whatever. So we have a little bit of prayer, but it's mainly praise. It's mainly praise of God. Okay. Where's the pasuk? And I know it's an unfair question, but, where's the question? It's in Atta HaReita Ladat.
Isn't it in Devarim?
It's in Devarim. Very good. What's the context? I should look it up myself, right? I was looking it up last night. What's the context? It is in Sefer Devarim, in Parshat Vatchanan, in Perek Dalid, in Devarim. Maybe, you know what?
As part of a paranesis with purpose, it is to convince the people that they should basically follow the Torah and not end up the way the Baal Peor crowd ended up. You know?
Okay, good. Very good. So, let me find it here. Bamidbar. Let's see, is this working here? Do I have it here? Oh, boy.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, chapter 4. I don't know where it is, what I did here.
It's around verse...
Yeah, no, I got too much going on here. Okay, hold on a second. Let me start with Shira. That's my daughter trying to call me from Israel, my son. Okay, I'll...
It's around verse after 29. The Shira,
my kid's in Israel. I feel bad, but please God, I'll get them before Yontif.
I think it's right before Ma'amad Har Sinai is described.
Correct. It's right before Ma'amad Har Sinai. I mean, it's not really, it's before Moshe's description of what happened at Har Sinai. And he's telling them, but he's warned. It's, we read this on Tisha B'Av, actually. Kitot Li Banim Ubnei Banim. Moshe, introduces, it's the beginning of chapter 4 is a very beautiful chapter. God has taught us these beautiful mitzvot. You should teach your children. God came out of the fire, gave the Torah, and then all of a sudden we sort of digress there, and there's like a new parsha, you know, Kitoli Banim Ubnei Banim, where you're gonna have children and they're gonna sin and they're gonna do all these terrible things. I'm warning you, Hayoti Bechemet Hashemayim Bet Aretz, like Hazinu Hashemayim Baretz. I'm bringing the heaven and the earth to be a testimony to your vote. If you do my hair, you will be lost very quickly here. And let me just see quickly, maybe now I can share it properly. Hold on a second. Give me 1 second here. I don't know what's going on. Oh, I thought I... Okay. I didn't hit share, right? Is that correct?
No. At least let's put it this way. Where
all
I
right. You know what? Forget it. Let me just find it. Give me a second.
You might have hit it, but nothing happened.
Tamarim 4. Okay. Let me just go back here. And let me share my screen for a second. Okay, sorry. I know it's just Hoshana Rabbah. That's okay.
Has an effect on you.
Okay. Batai Yisrael, don't add to the mitzvot. That's another famous pasuk. And Moshe says, I taught you all these mitzvot. Ushmartem vasitem. This is the mitzvah to win a Nobel Prize. I mean that in all seriousness. This is the verse in the Torah. One of the most important verses in the Torah. You should keep the Torah. That the nations will say, look how smart the Jews are. And the Gemara says on Shabbat 75a, if you don't believe me, that from here is a mitzvah to study math, astronomy, and science, because that's the wisdom of the nation. So today means you have to study technology. You have to study whatever the nation thinks. You have to win a Nobel Prize. So the nations will say, Rakam Chacham Ben Avon, HaGoy HaGadol. People should say, Jews are smart. I know it doesn't sound nice, but that's what it says in the Chumash. Okay. And then our relation to God. So it's very beautiful about, Batik Ruvun, you stood under the mountain. I'm just, and then Moshe, he starts to warn, I'm going to die. Be very careful not to, forsake the covenant, the end of the parsha, right? God is a jealous God, and Kito Libanim Uvnevanim, etc., etc. And then the Torah warns us what's going to happen. And then Moshe says, "You should know. You should know." Right? Ata Haret Aladat Ki Hashem Hu Elohim Eino Mivdat. You guys know. You were at Mount Sinai. Your parents were at Mount Sinai. Really, he's talking to Generation Two. You know that God is the God, the Lord is our God. Einod mivado. There's nobody like him. Which of course is a fascinating idea. What do you mean there's nobody like him? You know, all this Elohim Acherim means there are other gods. You just shouldn't worship them. Okay. That's the way it sounds like. But of course what it means, I assume what it means. There are no other gods, but in the ancient world, people believed in many gods. I assume that's why the Torah does that. You should know, well, you think there are other gods. None of the other gods are like our God. You know, that's what Parah said. Who's this God? Like, I never heard of him. Okay. So, and then, so it's basically, I demonstrated, Atahareta Ladat, I demonstrated my power at Mount Sinai. So you should know that I am the one God in the world, and therefore you have to listen to that one God. And then talked about Ari Miklat, interesting. And then we get to the Aseret Hadibrot, Anokhi Shemo Kacha. So that's interesting. So we begin the special, I don't want to call it a piyut exactly, but begin this special idea right before Yom, on Simchas Torah with a sort of a reference to Mount Sinai, which makes a lot of sense because that's where it's celebrating the giving of the Torah. So that's what we get at Torah, Reitel, Dad. And then, like you say, Nosach Svar took it to say it all the time, but it's a very beautiful pasuk. All the psukim are beautiful, whatever, beautiful, but they're much more beautiful if you understand them in the context of where they're coming, which we're not going to do with all the, we're not going to do it. So I can tell you because we don't have time, which is true, but I could also tell you because I didn't do it with all the other verses. I didn't look up every verse in the context. So maybe that's another project. That's a big problem, by the way, in the Gemara. The Gemara will often quote, a pasuk and people sort of, okay, yeah, the pasuk means this and that. But to really understand it properly, often what the Gemara is doing is really giving a deep interpretation of the verse. And if you don't know what the context of the verse is, you won't get it. But because the rabbis of the Talmud assumed only people who knew Tanakh backwards and forwards would open up a Talmud. If anybody, you know, the article I sent last week on 100 years of Daf Yomi, I said, and it's very true, that I think is very, very true, that the Talmud was not written for average people. The rabbis never in a million years dreamed that the average person would open up a Talmud. It's only for scholars. It's written for scholars. They talk the whole style of the Gemara. And as it's rabbis for rabbis. And they assume that every rabbi knew Tanakh backwards and forwards. So they don't have to tell you. They quote half the verse. And it just instinctively, you know what's going on. But okay. All right. It's other things. Okay. But let's just go quickly, so that pasuk we say every Shabbos from that one. I also know the context. 136. God is the one alone. Again, it's the same idea. God is the only one who does miraculous things. course, the refrain we say in Halal all the time, Ein kamocha, Beilim Hashem, there's nobody like you. So the first three psukim say, wow, God, you're like amazing. We in Ashkenaz, that's how we begin taking out the Torah. Ein kamocha, Beilim Hashem, Yein kamasecha, that's a pasuk in Tehillim. And because of that, Yehi chavod Hashem lo'olam, Yismach Hashem b'masav. Here, let me do this. So I should, even though I didn't prepare this in advance, I apologize, but I think in 1 second, half a minute, I'll get it. Go to Sepharia, go to liturgy, go to Siddur Ashkenaz, go to, festivals, Sukkot. I assume Sukkot includes, see here, they don't even have it. Shalosh Regalim. See, unbelievable. Pressing on Lulav Hoshanas, maybe. Hoshana Rabbah. No, they don't have Atta Hareta here. I don't know what's going on here. Shabbat evening, Shachrit. Okay, they don't have it. You'll have to listen. Tor Shabbat, if you have your own sitter. I don't know what everybody discriminates against this. Okay, then we say, Yehichavot, God should have the glory. Yehichavot Hashem, Lelam Yismach Hashem, Masav Kavod. And then Yishem Hashem Mevarach, that we should bless the name of God. And then we have our first prayer. Yehi Hashem Eloheinu Imanu, Kasher Yayim Avotenu, Al Yazvenu Val Yichenu. That's from Malachim, right? It's probably also I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure the Beit HaMikdash. God should be with us like he was with our forefathers. So out there praising God and saying how wonderful he is, and he should get honor, and his name should be praised. Then we say, okay, God, be nice to us. Don't forsake us. Just like you didn't forsake our forefathers. Now, of course, that's an interesting comment because, you know, our forefathers sometimes did feel forsaken a little. I mean, not forsaken, there's no God, but they had difficult lives. That doesn't mean when they say God doesn't forsake us, doesn't mean everything's going to go the way you want it to go. That's our avotenu didn't have lives that were easy. They had difficult lives. All of them had difficult lives and many, many challenges. Nonetheless, God was with them. There, you, God helped you through your difficult time. That's just also another important idea. Vimru Hoshienu Elohe Shenu, God will save us, right? Vimru, Mina Goyim, in order, Lodot Hashem Kodshecha, we say that every day in Hodu, if you remember. Vimru Hoshienu Elohe Shenu, Kavsenu Mina Goyim, Vatsilenu, God save us. In order, Lodot Hashem Kodshech, in order that we can sing your praises, Hashem Alech, Hashem Alech, Hashem Imloch L'Lamed. God is our King, is, was, and always will be. Hashem Ozla Moyitain. If God is our King, he gives strength to his people. Hashem Yivarech at the Mova Shalom. He'll bless his people with peace. And then we end, Vayina Moreinu L'Ratzon, Lifnei Adon Kol. And God should listen to our tefillah. That's the first half. Then Vayivin Soa. And then we'll stop here. Maybe do the other psukim, another time. Next year. But anyway, so that's the Atarei. It's just a beautiful way before Kabbalah Torah or before, you know, that we're going to celebrate. So we got this collection of psukim. I don't know who composed it. I don't know who put it together. I don't know what year it comes from. That's what I'm saying. None of the Sidurim I looked in had it. I'm sure somebody does. I didn't see it. And that's it. So let's just, it is Hoshana Rabbah, so we'll start to stop a couple minutes early, but, just very quickly to review. So Shmini Atzeret is, there's no reason just to have our intimate relationship after the universality of Sukkot. We have the special relationship. We go from the 70 bulls to one bull. And they're the best celebration when there's no reason to celebrate. The best gift you give your spouse is when that's not their anniversary or your birthday. Just give a gift. Just spend time. It's difficult. It's difficult for us to leave God. God desires a relationship with us. We should desire a relationship with him. But also, it's difficult that the Jewish people are divided. Sukkot, kol ezrach b'Yisrael, all Jews should sit in one sukkah. Even if you don't want to have them in your house, you should at least have them in your sukkah. And that's just the highest level of simcha, is to feel the presence of God. And that overflows into what developed this Simchat Torah, where, of course, the way we manifest our relationship with God is through the Torah. But as I say, that's really just a means to an end. The Torah is to develop. We have to keep the Torah. We have to do the mean. But we have to do the means, the end, to get that relationship with God. And also, as the Rambam says, we keep the mitzvot, not because the ethical mitzvot, not because God said so. I mean, maybe that too, but we do them because you should do them because you want to be an ethical person. We said that really Shemini Atzeret is the combination of the holidays, and we've divided Shemini Atzeret. We had an extra day with nothing to do. We don't have anything to do on Shemini Atzeret either. No special mitzvah. So one day became serious Yisker. Then one day became free for all. And just like Yom Kippur, the ninth is to celebrate the getting of the Torah. And the tenth is the series. There's just like Yom Kippur and Purim. You can't have the same moods in the same day. In Israel, they have no choice. So in Israel, they have to do a couple hours Yisker, and then they have to move on to other things. Then we just discussed the beautiful praises of Atar Reit. I don't know how they do it. It's interesting how the minhag developed. You know, I assume in most of your shuls, different people say it, right? They go around the room and they give it to people. Maybe some, I assume that's what they do. I don't know. But anyways, okay. Let's just see if there are any questions. I hope, people saw the schedule for the fall. I'm sure we'll add a few things here and there, but I think there are like 11 or 12 classes. I hope you will or have already signed up, and, we look forward to learning with you. Tuesday, right? We'll start on Tuesday. Rabbi Shulman will be giving his class on Koel, continuing after Sukkot. And on Wednesday, Shuli Mishkin will begin her series. Okay, just let me see if there are any questions. Any questions here? No. Gods mean power or judges, right? Also judges, Elohim. That is correct. Elohim in the Torah often means judges. Torah says it's not too hard to learn Torah. Yeah. Right. The Torah says it's lo v'shamayim, it's not in the heavens. It shouldn't be so hard. It's, that's what the simple meaning is. Tev shouldn't be Torah is close to you. Okay. I want to wish everybody a chag sameach. You should have simchat Torah. It should be, beautiful simcha through the, you know, the proper way to, or even if we're can relax a little, that's also good. Let loose a little bit, but within the confines of the Simchat Torah. Okay, everybody be well. Thank you very much.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Okay.
Thank you.
Please go out next week. Please go out class 100. So,
I'm on Shapiro Monday.
Yes, night. Yes. And Mark is talking on Monday night. Dr. Shapiro, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention. Yeah. Dr. Shapiro on Monday night. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Be well.